This is Radio Superior 1944, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1944. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now into the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
You're listening to the voice from the head of the lake station, KUWS. This is Jack McKenna reminding you, hasten the homecoming by Victory Bonds. It's Tuesday, June 6, 1944. Lou Martin is standing by with the news we've all been waiting for. The invasion is on.
News flashes began hours ago that the Allies are invading France. We've got the World News Roundup with nine correspondents standing by with special reports and the latest bulletins as they reach us.
They'll be talking about it 50 years from now, and we're witnessing it. Not only that, we have a special picnic today.
The last time we did that, we had big news from the Battle of Midway, June the 6th, 1942.
So the whole gang will be in, folks, and we'll listen to the best music from the hit parade. In fact, this is such a momentous day, I'll pull out a lot of the best swing numbers. How about that? The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Dufresne's Pharmacy. Dufresne's has Colgate shaving cream for just 39 cents. Dufresne's Pharmacy at 1113 Tower Avenue in Superior.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. 4 years almost to the day when British and French troops were evacuated from Dunkirk, the Allies have returned. Supreme Headquarters of the Allied Expeditionary Force in London reports many landings on the French coast of Normandy. We begin our World Shortwave Radio Roundup with Webb Miller in London.
London calling, Webb Miller, your correspondent. American, British, and Canadian seaborne forces landed in the Normandy section of northwestern France early today. By evening, they had smashed their way inland on a broad front. Prime Minister Winston Churchill said a gigantic air and sea invasion and a record-shattering number of parachutes and glider troops set the tone for the invasion force, which landed tens of thousands of men using 4,000 ships and countless smaller craft. 11,000 Allied bombers and fighters wrought gigantic havoc against the entire Nazi coastal defense line from Le Havre to Cherbourg. Naval gunfire completed the job, and beachheads were secured quickly. This is a front of 100 miles across the English Channel. Allied losses in every branch were declared to be far less than anticipated by Allied command. Mr. Churchill told the House of Commons that the operation is going well, and in some areas they have pushed as far as 9 miles inland near Caen. He had high praise for the aerial attack. The Prime Minister said that between midnight and 8 a.m. this morning, more than 31,000 airmen were involved in the missions over France, smashing the Nazi defenses. Mr. Churchill reminded Commons that although this is a vitally essential first step, today's invasion gives no indication of what may be the course of battle in the days and weeks to come as Hitler concentrates his forces on Normandy. In London, this is Webb Miller calling the Isle of Wight. Come in, Harrison Salisbury.
This is the Isle of Wight along the English Channel, Harrison Salisbury reporting. An occupied Paris broadcast reports a vicious battle underway between powerful Allied paratroop formations and German anti-aircraft forces. Even so, one source here tells us the Allies were able to clear some vital hurdles the first day. They include little or no activity by the Luftwaffe. Attacks on invasion convoy were less than expected. Minesweeps swept the channel and beaches for invasion troops. And troops got ashore in the face of German shore batteries. Superior officer here monitoring the invasion told me that frankly he did not know what amount of surprise this attack on Fortress Europe had on the Nazis. But Allies were in control of the skies to protect landing convoys. Our radio monitors here say German radio began flashing bulletins as soon as the first troops landed. On the contrary, Allied headquarters remained mum until this release at 9:32 British time, hours after the invasion had begun. The historic communique read, under the command of General Eisenhower, Allied naval forces supported by strong air forces began landing Allied armies this morning on the northern coast of France End of statement. The invasion came this morning with the climax of 4 solid days of bombing the entire coastal area so as to not clue in the German high command as to the place of arrival. Fighter pilots returning from the first invasion wave say things seemed well organized on the beaches. Said one Canadian flyer, "I've never seen so many ships in all my life." He and others say there was lots of shooting on the beaches. The toll on today's invasion force may not be known for many days. At the Isle of Wight, this is Harrison Salisbury, calling Switzerland. Come in, Geneva.
This is Geneva, Alfred M. Schock reporting. The German news agency DNB is giving a different view of the invasion of Normandy, France, today. It is reporting a large-scale Anglo-American attack which began in the early morning hours. The attack began with major airborne formations dropping from Caen to the northern tip of the Normandy Peninsula and the estuaries of the Seine. It said defenders wiped out the airborne troops in all areas except Caen, where fighting continues. 2 hours after the airborne assault, a massive amphibious operation landed on the Normandy beaches between Havre and Cherbourg to Caen. DNB reports that a large cruiser and landing vessel laden with troops have been sunk by direct artillery hits. Grim fighting is taking place around the Orne estuary. North of Caen, a group from a landing vessel was annihilated by a surprise attack of German defenders. DNB also says this may only be the first feint with the real invasion in the coming hours or days. In Geneva, this is Alfred M. Schock reporting. Calling England, come in, Lewis Lochner.
This is England. Lewis Lochner here at the Marauder base, just back from a coastal bombing mission. From the cockpit of one of the hundreds of planes supporting today's Allied landings in northern France, I can tell you it was a battle royale raging on the sea, in the air and on the beaches. From what I could see out my window, the laddies were putting up a great fight, but it was chaos below. Smoke from a naval smokescreen obscured some of my view, but I say, it wasn't hard to see the dots below making headway over the beaches. The Yanks and Tommies and Canucks are overwhelming Fortress Europe in the first hours of this invasion. The fields along the French coast were dotted with parachutes, which landed before the invasion. Interspersed between the discarded parachutes were planes. My guess is that they're gliders. Those aircraft bore the distinctive Allied invasion black and white zebra stripe, which was hurriedly slapped on before this action began. This zebra stripe is a way to easily identify the good guys from the bad and prevent confusion from anti-aircraft batteries shooting down our fellows. Spirits here are high. The RAF pilot told me simply, this is the day we've been waiting for. On a Marauder base in England, this is Lewis Lochner reporting. Calling London, come in, Wesley Gallagher.
This is London. Your correspondent, Wes Gallagher, here. Invasion Commander General Dwight Eisenhower has taken to the radio waves with a message for free French forces. I will read his message. People of Western Europe, a landing was made this morning on the coast of France by troops of the Allied Expeditionary Force. This landing is part of the concerted United Nations plan for the liberation of Europe made in conjunction with your great Russian allies. Although the initial assault may not have been made in your own country, the hour of liberation is approaching. All patriots, men and women, young and old, have a part to play in the achievement of final victory. To members of the resistance movement, I say follow the instructions you have received. To patriots who are not members of resistance groups, I say continue your passive resistance, but do not needlessly endanger your lives until I give you the signal to rise and strike the enemy. The day will come when I need your united strength. Until then, I call upon you for the hard task of discipline and restraint. In the course of this campaign for the final defeat to the enemy, you may sustain further loss and damage. Tragic though they may be, they are part of the price of victory. Great battles lie ahead. I call upon all who love freedom to stand with us. Keep your faith staunch. Together we shall achieve victory. In London, this is Wes Gallagher calling the British coast. Come in, Virgil Pinkley.
This is Dover, your correspondent Virgil Pinkley reporting. Supreme Allied Invasion Commander General Dwight D. Eisenhower was just one of the boys when he visited paratroopers on the invasion eve last night. The general's car would roll up and the black-faced airborne soldiers would sneak a final chew on their gum, grin, and snap to attention. The general told them to stand easy, moving among them, asking questions like, where are you from? What did you do in civilian life? How old are you? Are you a good shot with that rifle? Who's the toughest man in your battalion? Invariably, off in the corner of the field, men would shout for Ike. That's what they call him. He'd go over and spar with them verbally, giving the impression that this general was just one of the guys. The difference is, this guy made them feel like they were the best soldiers in the world. At a base near Dover, this is Virgil Pinkley, calling Normandy. Come in, Max Jordan.
This is an undisclosed beach of Normandy on Fortress Europe. Max Jordan reporting. Almost 3 years after being expelled as a correspondent from Berlin, I am back on European soil. I arrived here with a bunch of GIs on an assault craft crossing the English Channel this morning. We were one of the hundreds of LCTs that moved silently in the early morning half-light toward the French coast. All of these men were thoroughly briefed and knew their roles. That included wading through waist-deep, bullet-riddled water and vaulting Adolf Hitler's concrete and steel wall. General Eisenhower's instructions had been read to them before they left. I observed their expressions as their commanding officer warned of savage fighting ahead. Many of them chewed their gum a bit faster than usual, but I could detect no sign of fear. They knew this was for keeps. When the CO finished, they applauded. 5 minutes later, they were again playing poker on army blankets spread out on the steel deck of the LCT, or keeping time to radio jazz from America, tapping their boots on the fenders of the assault vehicles. Standing around in their gas-impregnable clothing, these American boys were confident, but they knew that many of them wouldn't be coming back. One GI threw a package of cigarettes on a blanket and said the smokes were on him. I know that I am smoking my cigarette a little faster than usual, and it doesn't taste quite right. However, the equipment is a vast improvement over landings at Salerno and Anzio. 50-year-old Master Sergeant James Crest of Hartford, Connecticut said, I may be going to die, but I know we're going to win. Reporting on a Normandy beachhead, this is Max Jordan calling Soviet Russia. Come in, Eddie Gilmore.
Moscow calling, Eddie Gilmore reporting. From the darkest days of the war, the people of the Soviet Union have been praying for this day, the invasion of Western Europe. It is understood that Russian armies are massing, preparing to do their part in this joint Allied task of crushing Germany from the east, south, and west. The invasion of northwestern France is the opening of the second front for which Marshal Stalin has been calling on for the past 3 years. Russian people who learned of the D-Day landing literally danced with glee, although news of it here is sparse. Most newspapers are still carrying glowing accounts of the fall of Rome yesterday. In Moscow, this is Eddie Gilmore. Calling America, come in New York.
This is New York calling. Joseph L. Myler reporting. The waiting is over. In cities and towns, farms and villages, Americans look at each other and say, this is it. Church bells peal and sirens wail. The news that the battle for Europe is on. The Liberty Bell, cherished symbol of American freedom, rang again in Philadelphia for liberation. But mostly, people are quiet. They've waited a long time. That waiting is over. Now people have to wait a while longer, anxiously and prayerfully, to see how this day turns out. Reports from all over the country told of a common impulse, an impulse to pray. In city temples, in countryside steepled white churches, in synagogues and cathedrals, people are praying for the men storming Europe's beaches and flying Europe's skies. The D-Day services were planned in advance for those who have time to attend them. Those with work to do did it. They caught a radio bulletin or two and scanned the headlines of extra editions of newspapers. Many prayed silently. In Washington, the thousands of government workers queued up for breakfast at cafeterias just as they did yesterday. The girls were not giggling. The men were silent, and one cafe placed little American flags on the tables. War workers at Lockheed and Douglas aircraft plants in Los Angeles listened silently to announcements over loudspeakers and then went back to work. General George C. Marshall called this a battle to the death for the Nazis and a battle to victory for the Allies. First World War General John Blackjack Pershing said, "Americans and their brothers in arms will win again." But it remained for an anonymous American sergeant at a British jumping-off place to say in the fewest words what everybody here hopes and believes. They can't stop us. In New York, this is Joseph L. Myler.
Paris Radio Today broadcast an appeal from Marshal Pétain, who urged French citizens to not revolt. The aged Vichy chief said that such actions would bring on tragic reprisals. Pétain said, quoting, "France has again become a battlefield, and the German army must take special measures in this battle area. Accept the necessity," unquote. President Roosevelt spent the tense early hours of the invasion writing a prayer, which he will read over the radio tonight at 9 o'clock Central Wartime. After last night's fireside chat, the president went to his second-floor bedroom in the White House. He received telephone calls from the War Department on the progress of the invasion, and he wrote his prayer. Destruction of Japan's naval power continues, with the Yanks bagging 20 Jap vessels in 2 days. General Douglas MacArthur says Liberator bombers blasted the southern invasion route toward the Philippines, sunk a destroyer and a freighter today. The attack planes left a second enemy destroyer dead in the water near New Guinea. On the home front, production of finished airplane engines halted at the Wright Aeronautical Plant today near Cincinnati. At least half of the 35,000 employees were idle after the transfer of 7 Negro workmen from the North Shop to the Central Shop. Officials of the plant and the CIO union were unable to find leaders of the strike, which was a protest against race mixing. The union condemns the strike and has turned in 25 names to the Army for any action that they may take. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:10 Central Wartime. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
Indeed I have, Lou, and I thank you. Every man likes to look his best, I'm sure. Even Lou. Colgate Dental Cream is on sale at Dufresne's Pharmacy in Superior, of course, 1112 Tower Avenue. 37 cents for... Look, this must be a mistake, folks. Colgate Dental Cream, 37 cents. My goodness. Palmolive Brushless, 39 cents. Vaseline Hair Tonic, that's in my realm. Small, 37 cents. Colgate Shaving Cream, Giant, 39 cents. And so it goes on and on, folks. At Dufresne's Pharmacy, 1112 Tower Avenue in Superior.
The parents of Air Corps Sergeant Francis Blyenberg have been notified that their only son has been killed in action. Sergeant Blyenberg was killed on a bombing mission over Germany on February the 6th. The message was received from the German government through the International Red Cross. In the same message, his former East High classmate, Lieutenant James Higgins, was also killed. A Shell Lake soldier has been wounded in action in Italy. The parents of Sergeant David Piper have been told that their son was wounded May the 10th. The State Historical Society says the modern World War II soldier from Wisconsin is faring much better than his predecessors in other wars. In World War I, 1 in 30 soldiers from Wisconsin died. In the Civil War, 1 in 7 died. So far in this war, 1 in 160 has been killed. Several hundred prisoners of war at Camp McCoy in central Wisconsin heard the news of the Allied invasion of France on their radios. Lieutenant Colonel Horace Rogers says the soldiers, most members of the Afrika Corps, are in high spirits. They believe that Germany will win the war. And, Jack, you no longer have to be a nervous Nelly anymore about those 3 escaped POWs from Upper Michigan. They have been caught.
Whew. I can sleep again, Lou, without a baseball bat.
The men escaped Saturday night, but were apprehended in a roadhouse near a place called Shingleton on Tuesday morning. The state police nabbed them.
Say, don't call me a nervous Nelly Lou.
How about Jumpy Jack?
Boy, I can see the whole gang is gathering out in the other room for the picnic tonight. I love potluck.
You mean you love food? The trick is to bring in a hot dish with a name that starts with a D. You know, for D-Day.
If we get a lot of dill hot dishes, it'll be all your fault. Let's check the forecast for this historic day, June the 6th, 1944. We'll have clearing and starry skies tonight, folks, with a low around, 40 degrees. It'll be sunny and great, as always, here at the head of the lakes, with a high near 70. Let's kick off this special D-Day edition of the Martin and McKenna Show with the North Shore Big Band and Anchors Away on station KUWS. Very fine music of our local swing band, folks, the North Shore Big Band, and Anchors Away on station KUWS.
D-Day, this is the day of days to buy more war bonds. The Marcus Company, specializing in luggage, jewelry, and sporting goods, urges you to do your part.
What on earth was that?
Invasion needs cooperation from the home front to be successful. On this D-Day, buy more war bonds. This brought to you by Superior and Duluth Transfer Company, 911 Tower Avenue.
There he goes again.
Back the attack. D-Day. The world has waited for this day. We must make sure of victory. Fagerlund's Fuel and Coal Stokers urge you to buy more war bonds. Fagerlund's, 1124 North 6th Street, Superior.
Maybe I'm sleeping and this is just a dream. And I'll just pinch myself. Ouch.
What's wrong?
You're not a dream, are you?
I'd like to think so.
Oh, sure. Say, Lou, you haven't heard any other voices around here in the past couple of minutes, have you?
Are you hearing voices?
No. I was just checking, that's all. Say, I can't wait to dig into all of those great hot dishes everyone will bring. You got your famous Solon Springs chicken wings?
Sorry, not this year. I've been too busy with this D-Day news.
No Solon Springs chicken wings. Nice going. But Lou, think of the disappointed people. Think of my disappointed stomach.
Sorry, I've got to get back to the newsroom. More D-Day flashes are coming across.
I'll figure this out, folks. Here's Les Brown and his band of renown and Barbara Allen on the Martin and McKenna D-Day Show.
month of May, when green buffs they were swelling, young Tommy Jones on his deathbed lay for love of Barbara Allen. He sent his man unto her then, to the place where she was dwelling. You must come to my master, dear, if your name be Barbara Allen. Slowly she came nigh him, but all she said when she came there, young man, I think you're dying. If on your deathbed you do lie, what needs the tale you're telling? I cannot keep you from your death. Farewell, said Barbara Allen. Deadly pangs he fell in. Farewell, farewell, farewell to all. Farewell to Barbara Allen.
Ah, yes, Les Brown and his band of renown with that cute little Doris Day on the vocals on station KUWS.
War Bonds Back the Invasion. Newberry's 5 and 10 cent store at 1105 Tower Avenue urges you to buy more war bonds.
All right. Who are you and where are you?
D-Day has arrived. That's right, mister. You've got the idea. Keep production up and back the attack. The National Bank of Commerce urges you to buy more war bonds now.
All right. Come out from under there.
Underwear?
Why did you just say underwear?
Jack, how come you're looking under the console? Are you all right? You look rather ashen.
Fine. Oh, just fine. Lou is in the newsroom.
Yes, he is so busy, poor dear.
Oh, so I get the honors, eh? Well, folks, let me introduce community editor Harriet Farig. Say, you haven't heard anything about it. Strange around here? I mean, besides Rabbit Ray eating in the lunchroom.
He is rather loud. No, nothing out of the ordinary. But ladies and gentlemen, today is no ordinary day. With the invasion of Western Europe, congregations of all faiths in Superior are planning special D-Day prayer services. Rabbi Alex Hyatt at the Aguna Sahim Temple on 6th Street and Hammond Avenue says they'll meet at 8:15 tonight. Central Methodist Church will have prayer, music, and scripture led by Reverend Harold Nye at 7:30. Bethel Lutheran Church will hold an intercessory service by Pastor J.T. Stoley at 5821 John Avenue at 7:30. Prayers for victory and peace will be offered by the very Reverend Joseph Annebring at Cathedral of Christ the King at 7:45. Pastor A.W. Arthur of Pilgrim Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran Church Reverend Paul Bow say their churches will be open for prayer all evening. Reverend George Senti of Hammond Avenue Presbyterian Church says his church is open for anyone walking by to stop in and pray tonight and tomorrow. And lastly, Jack, Father Leo Block of the St. Joseph's Children's Home conducted Invasion Day services for the little ones this afternoon. It can be a scary time for them.
Yes, and even us big ones. This is kind of a scary time. We all know someone over there.
So prayer is a comfort.
Thank you, Harriet. Let's play this appropriate selection by Kate Smith on the Martin and McKenna D-Day Show.
God bless America.
from the mountains.
Kate Smith and God Bless America, as we come together this D-Day, friends.
Invasion is no parade.
I didn't say it was, Mr. Mystery Voice.
The parades and victory celebrations will come later, after the battles are won. Invasion can't be won without your support. Millard Berg Photography urges you to buy more war bonds now.
I'm kind of getting used to that guy, you know?
What guy?
Never mind.
I've got some information about the official announcement of D-Day. In a transatlantic radio telephone hookup from the Allied Expeditionary Force Supreme Headquarters to all major press services and broadcast networks, the voice of Colonel Ernest Dupuy made the announcement from General Eisenhower's office. He told all news agencies, Allied naval forces supported by strong air forces began landing Allied armies this morning on the northern coast of France, unquote. Dupuy began reading at 7:32 Greenwich Meridian Time, or 2:32 Central War Time. A simple note to announce an event that'll make history and liberate millions of people, Jack.
There is much to be said about understatement. Thanks, Lou. Say, would you mind sticking around for a while?
I can't. Must do news. But I think the Historical Society curator is coming in. I see him in his weird cape.
I think I'd rather hear the mystery voice instead. On with the music, friends. Here's a new one from Charlie Spivak and his orchestra, with vocals by Irene Day, and Saturday Night on the Martin and McKenna D-Day Show.
Mm-hmm.
swinging sounds of Charlie Spivak and his orchestra, and Saturday Night. That was arranged by Nelson Riddle, written by Sammy Kahn and Julie Stein. Okay, Mr. Mystery Voice, I'm waiting. I said I'm waiting.
Yes, all right, I'm trying to hurry. I've been so busy at the museum, you see.
I didn't mean you.
Then who?
Just not you.
Then I should leave?
No. Mr. Gerald Stowe, curator of the Douglas County Historical Society Museum. Good evening, sir.
Yes, it is. Nice and cloudy. But I had to drop everything and come over when I heard the big news of the invasion. I was in the middle of unpacking an exhibit about Chief Red Cloud of the Sioux Indians. Yes, you should see the tomahawk he used.
Neat. You'll have to bring it in sometime.
Yes, I will. But I did bring soup. I call it stone soup.
Sounds interesting.
With real stones.
Running low on your meat rationing stamps, are we, Mr. Stowe?
Yes.
Say, buddy, you sure talk funny.
Yes, so do you.
Colonel Joe Raffaele, draft board chairman of Douglas County. Hiya, Colonel.
Yes, it's greetings, Colonel.
What's with the pasty face look? You look like you've donated a quart too much at the last blood drive.
Oh, yes, I don't donate at the blood bank. I just make withdrawals.
You need to get out more. Get some fresh air, some sun, or
yes,
something.
Yes, I don't like the sun. I find it very disagreeable. I like the night.
That's not healthy. In fact, it's downright un-American. You look like a vampire or something.
So, Colonel, what did you bring for the picnic?
Yes, the undead. They live forever, you know.
That'd be kind of handy for a museum curator.
Yes, well, I'd better leave while it's still nice and cloudy.
Anybody got a mirror, real quick-like?
Yes, enjoy the stone soup. I don't like this time of year. The darkness is too short.
Strange little guy. Talks funny, too.
I guess you made that clear, Colonel. On with the music for this D-Day. Here's an oldie but a goodie from Benny Goodman and his orchestra from the 1938 hit parade. This is Stomping at the Savoy on the Martin and McKenna Show. Thank you. Benny Goodman and Stompin' at the Savoy on station KQWS. All right, Mr. Mystery Voice, speak up. I'll find you. I know I'm not crazy. I said I'm waiting. Did you fall asleep?
Oh, sorry. Troop carriers are sharing in the invasion today. Your war bonds make it possible. Sassner's Emporium says keep backing the attack. Westland Hardware Company reminds you that the soldier may have to give up his life, so it's up to you to support him and thousands upon thousands like him who are invading Europe against Hitler at last. Keep him supplied with guns, ammunition, and food. Buy bonds.
Who was that?
Who was who?
That.
I didn't hear anything. Are you hearing voices, Lou?
Newsmen don't hear voices. But I do have more D-Day news. Today's invasion was led by 10,000 gallant British and American soldiers who operated minesweepers on the beaches of France. A great armada of these little ships converted fishing trawlers used in the last war and kept on a secret list. They performed this huge task under fire from German shore batteries and Nazi aircraft. With the sweepers, steamed other ships, which dropped markers to guide the invasion fleet through the clear seas. And all of this had to be done according to a strict invasion timetable because of tricky tides, Jack.
D-Day spells invasion. Invasion means liberty and justice in Europe if we back the attack. Popkin Furniture at 520 Tower Avenue urges you to buy another bond today.
Okay, I heard that. Where's that coming from?
I told you it's Mr. Mystery Voice. I can't figure it out.
Knock, knock. Can I come in?
Sure, Superior Diocese Bishop William O'Connor.
Oh, please, my son, just call me Father Bill.
So, does God do advertisements?
What? God can do anything, I suppose you could say he advertises.
Over the radio?
No place is too undignified for the Lord's word. I just stopped by to share with your listeners a special moment I had earlier this afternoon. We all know the work at the Butler Shipyard is hard, and, well, many of the men are pretty tough. That with the long hours and the difficult war work they're doing. But not 2 hours ago, these men, and women too, all 4,000 of them bowed their heads in a solemn prayer, along with Rabbi Richard Singer, the Temple Emmanuel in Duluth, and Father Peter Doherty, the St. Patrick's Church in Superior. We led a most inspirational invasion prayer service. It was my proud yet humble honor to read part of President Roosevelt's prayer to the Union.
The Most Reverend Bishop William O'Connor. Thank you, sir. Won't you stay for our hot dish picnic, Reverend?
Say, Father Bill, do you ever hear voices?
In a manner of speaking, yes, I do.
Do they tell you to buy war bonds and shop at Popkin's Furniture Store?
Jack's just pulling your leg, Father.
Oh, that Jack, what a jokester. I think I'll be moseying over to the picnic now. All this praying makes a man hungry.
Mm-hmm. This is Jokester Jack rolling on with your favorite crooner, Father Bill. Here's Vic Shane and his orchestra with vocals by Dear Bingo Crosby and the Andrews Sisters and Pistol Packin' Mama. It's written by country western star Al Dexter, but I'm sure you knew that, on the Martin and McKenna D-Day Show.
Lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packin' mama, lay that pistol down. Oh, drinking beer in a cabaret, was I having fun? Until one night she caught me right, now I'm on the run.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packin' mama, lay that pistol down. Oh, I see you every night, Bing, and I'll woo you every day. I'll be your regular mama, and I'll put that gun away.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packin' mama, lay the thing down before it goes off and hurts somebody. Oh, she kicked out my windshield, and she hit me over the head. She cussed and cried and said I'd lied, and she wished that I was dead.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packing mama, lay that pistol down. We're three tough gals from deep down Texas way. We got no pals, they don't like the way we play. We're a rough, rootin', tootin', shootin' trio, but you've seen a sister Cleo. She's a terror, make no error, but there ain't no lassie fair, is what we tell her.
Lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol bagging mama, lay that pistol down.
Draw was slow, so now they know you can't do that to Mame.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packing mama, lay that pistol down.
Oh, singing songs in the cabaret, was I having fun? Till one night it didn't seem right, now I'm on the run.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down, pistol back and mama, lay that pistol
down.
Oh, pistol back and mama, lay that pistol down.
Bing Crosby with the Andrews Sisters were their newest from the 1944 hit parade, Pistol Packin' Mama. On KUWS.
Is it about now that the voices come?
Make the beachheads grow. Keep the landing barges on the go. Pile up the arms and equipment. That's the way to hasten victory. Your friends at First National Bank encourage you to buy war bonds and have your share in this victory.
This can be explained.
D-Day. Invasion came to Europe today. Allied might in terms of men and guns, planes, tanks, and ships is being hurled at Hitler. Rudolph Furniture says when you bought war bonds, you equipped and supplied these troops. If the invasion is to succeed, we must keep them supplied.
Ray's coming. Maybe he'll know.
I think it's best not to mention this to anybody, because apparently no one else in the station hears this. I'm too young to spend my remaining years in a room with padded walls.
Hiya, Ray.
Well, hiya, Jake. And good evening, fans of the sporting world. The draft is taking a bigger toll on big league baseball than Bullet Bob Feller's fastball. Stan Hack is coming out of retirement and will play the hot corner for the floundering Cubbies of Chi-Town. Old Stanislaus competed in three World Series for the Cubs, but called it quits last winter. The Cubs are in last place. Dixie Walker of the Brooklyn Dodgers leads the league in hitting with a .426 batting average. Stan the Man Musial of the first-place St. Louis Cardinals is swatting .348. The war has taken its toll on the minor leagues as well. The Northern League suspended play last year for lack of bodies. In its place was the head of the Lakes League, and it only lasted a few weeks before it folded. But the league is taking another crack at it. Tryouts for this amateur loop opened last night. Superior manager John Schrader says 16 candidates showed up. Duluth manager Bob Ritter holds tryouts tonight. And finally, fans, Brooklyn Dodgers sportscaster Red Barber is the guest speaker tonight before 160 blind men who work at the Industrial Home for the War effort. The men will be awarded the Navy E. The men chose Red Barber because they love listening to ball games on the radio at work. Well, this is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport.
Oh, thank you, Ray. Sticking around for the potluck?
Well, yeah. In spite of that crack that you and Harriet made about the noise I make while I'm eating.
Well, on with the good time music celebrating D-Day, folks. For our fly boys, this is Nat King Cole.
And straighten up and fly right.
On the Martin and McKenna Show.
A buzzer
took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on the square. The buzzer tried to throw the monkey off his back, but the monkey grabbed his neck and said, "Now listen, Jack. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Ain't no use in diving. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top." The buzzer told the monkey, "You are choking me. Release your hold and I will set you free." The monkey looked the buzzer right dead in the eye and said, "Your story's so touching, but it sounds just like a lie. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top." But don't you blow your top. Fly right.
Oh, yeah. The good sound of Nat King Cole and Straighten Up and Fly Right on station KUWS. What's up, Lou?
It's important to remember that today's invasion of northern France comes after hard fighting elsewhere this year. 1944 began as the Red Army smashed across the Polish border on January the 4th. Followed by landings behind Nazi lines of GIs at Anzio in late January. In the Pacific, Marines landed at Kwajalein in the Marshall Islands, and on March the 3rd, U.S. planes fly over Berlin for the first time, and yesterday, Rome fell to the Allies. But there's much more to go.
There certainly is. Your war bond dollars bought their guns. They paid for the AKAC ammunition against Nazi fighter planes. Ekstrom's urges you to continue to back the attack and buy bonds.
Huh. What do you know about that? Better call the wise and powerful engineer.
But all we've got is Joe Gardonio.
Joe listens to us, you know.
Huh. I'm going to play the next number. The voice doesn't pop up during music. Here's Von Monroe and his hopeful number on this D-Day when the lights go on again and on the Martin and McKenna Daytime Show.
Rings and free hearts will sing.
on again all over the
When the lights go on again on station KUWS. Is he gone, Lou?
Hard to say. I don't hear anything.
What don't you hear? And why aren't you hearing it? And where's Eats? I heard there'll be a good spread today.
For our listeners, this is Chief Engineer Joe Gardonio. It's the voice coming out of nowhere with announcements.
He sounds kind of godlike.
Hearing voices, huh? Well, it's just a matter of time for you two.
Goodness, God is speaking to Jack and Lou?
Yeah, maybe it's about the end of the world. You know, I have several theories on that.
Oh, great. It's death ray time again.
Let me introduce community editor Harriet Feurig.
It's like the voice is coming out of the ceiling or something.
Say, you look quite fit these days.
Thank you. Well, I've been working out.
It's probably not God, since God wouldn't do Ekstrom's commercials.
I was talking about Harriet.
Thank you, Lewis. It's all that welding work at the shipyard.
This is the most discombobulated conversation I've heard in my entire life. And I've been married for 30 grinding, pounding years.
Let me introduce Douglas County Draft Board Chairman, Colonel Joe Raffley.
And if God's talking to you, McCorkle, you better be standing at attention or you'll be going to the other place and not doing any talking.
Where are we?
Heavens to Betsy. Let's dig in for the hot dish picnic.
Father Bill, the colonel says I'm going to the other place.
Let me introduce yet another person who has walked into this studio.
Yeah, it's getting kind of crowded in here.
Superior Diocese Bishop William O'Connor.
Oh, just call me Father Bill. No. What's all this, Jack, my son?
Now, about my end-of-the-world scenario. It'll happen when most everybody heads to South America.
Well, after the news we played a nifty number by the North Shore Big Band, then I heard a voice.
It seemed to come out of the thin air.
If you ask me, it came out of a couple of thick heads.
Colonel, really? If Lewis says he heard it, then he heard it.
South America, my son. Armageddon is supposed to happen in the Holy Land.
Well, I've got a theory about that, too. First, people all head to South America to get away from the war. Meanwhile, all that drilling for oil there in Arabia causes the desert sands to shift and be swallowed up, collapsing entire regions like an inverted pimple on the planet.
Pimple? On the planet?
Inverted pimple on the planet.
And then I heard it again. And again. And then Harriet came.
Anywho, with most people in South America on the other side of the planet, and the other side caving in, the world will be off balance, and it'll wobble.
Yeah. The old wobbling earth theory. Yeah. I've heard of that. Yeah.
Goodness, you mean the wobble will cause tidal waves and melting ice caps and earthquakes?
No. Sheesh. Women.
You mean there'll be panic and famine and worldwide chaos?
No, your emergency. The wobble disrupts the gravitational field of the Earth. People start flying off the planet. The wobble literally shakes them loose, and anything not tied down is going to go flying right into space. Then the world will be ruled by the birds.
I'm so confused. I think I'll walk out of here backwards so I can forget what I've heard.
I think I'll walk backward with you.
You three are fruitier than a nutcake.
You mean nuttier better than a fruitcake.
Hey.
Sorry, boys. I didn't mean you.
My head hurts. But first, here's a brand new number from Marion Hutton with Paul Whiteman and his orchestra. And no about a doubt, I'm really confused now. On the Martin and McKenna Show.
I used to be most capable of keeping a conversation. I never, ever faltered in my pronunciation. My speech was quite as flawless as could be. But what did you do? Yes, what did you do to me? Nobody doubt it. I mean, no doubt about it. I'm in love with you. Nobody doubt it. I mean, no doubt about it. What I say is true. They are driving me insane. My talk's affected. I jumble every line. Cause something in my brain got disconnected when your lips connected with mine. No fool I'm feeling. I mean, no feel I'm fooling like a kid of two. I love you so much. I mean, I love you so much. What am I to do? I feel I'll never walk straight. You got me so I just can't talk straight. Nobody doubt it. I mean, no doubt about it. I'm in love with you. My train of thought won't clickety-clack. It's had a terrific smack-up. You've gone and knocked it off of the track, and I just can't get it back up. I put my shoes on the pillow, go to sleep on the floor. I wind up the cat and put out the clock and do things I never did before. And ever since we met, I prattle like an itty-bitty baby with a rattle. No fool I'm feeling, I mean no feel I'm fooling like a kid of two. I love you so much, I mean I love you so much, what am I to do? I feel I'll never walk straight. You got me so I just can't talk straight. Nobody doubt it, I mean no doubt about it. Cause you're live, I'm marvelous, wonderful, I'm wonderful. I really mean it, I really mean it. Nobody doubt it, I mean no doubt about it. I'm in love with you.
I hope all of you brought some hot dishes for the potluck.
Yeah, I'm pretty busy. I didn't get there.
I don't wash my hair. Yeah, that's it.
Well, what with the shipyards and the riveters convention?
With all the D-Day news, I was so busy.
Then you can't believe the long, long line at the confessional today.
You mean no one brought a hot dish? All we've got is the museum guy's stone soup.
Hey. I slaved all night on my 7-layer jello. It's red, white, and blue, and blue, white, and red, and
it looks
and
purple
more red
to me.
That's not a very appetizing color for food.
Well, I made each color in a single bowl, but when I poured it together, it kind of got mixed up.
Well, it's a good effort, Colonel.
You put enough whipped cream on anything, and, well, nobody will know the difference.
A fine hot dish potluck this turned out to be. Stone soup and purple jello.
Yeah. It's engineers to save the day once again. I've got dough-pea pie.
You got dough-pie-pea pie?
Dough-pea pie. It's an old Gardonio family favorite. It's really big in Italy. Humongous. In fact, if you eat enough dough pies, you'll be too heavy to fly off the wobbly planet. That could very well save your life someday.
I think I've heard of this dough pie. Pope Pius has it in Rome Saturday nights.
Open the door. Go ahead, open the lunchroom door. What'd I tell you, huh?
Yeah.
Smells pretty darn good. Excuse the language there, Father Bill.
I don't know. It doesn't look like a hot dish or anything Scandahoovian.
That's because it isn't pale and white. But it does have cheese, tomato sauce, sausage, pepperoni, mushrooms, on a nice crust. It's a pie, a dough pie. Some people call it pizza.
I'm hungry enough I could eat that whole pie.
Stop!
For goodness!
We're not moving until we find out who the mystery announcer is.
Huh? There isn't a mystery voice. It's some kind of hallucinatory. Oh,
great. Here comes another theory.
Matter of fact, well, I'm tapped out on this one. I don't know.
Now I know the world is coming to an end if Joe says, I don't know about something.
This is D-Day, 1944. The goal, victory. The place, Europe. The time, this year. The responsibility, yours. Invasion is the beginning of the end for Hitler. Roth's department store says, let's all buy more war bonds.
It's true!
Listen, Decora.
You mean that?
That what?
How about that guy over there behind the curtain?
What is he? The Wizard of Oz?
All right, you. Come on out of there, Buster. Fool with our radio station, will you?
Oh, goodness me. Please, no rough stuff. I faint easily.
You're not the announcer that we've been hearing.
Boy, am I hungry now.
A moment ago, you were afraid for your sanity. Now your stomach has you distracted already.
But that pizza smells so good.
All right, you, Bob. Come on, come clean.
Well, the advertising department hired me. They sold so many D-Day ads, they didn't think Jack would do all of them. So they hooked me up in that booth that no one ever uses and told me to do these announcements whenever I could.
Leave it to sales to sell an invasion.
He doesn't sound like that announcer.
You mean like this? Buy bonds.
What did you know?
Well, you must be hungry after all this work, Mr. Mr.
Vernon. Vernon Berkowitz. You can call me Vernon.
Yeah, pleased to meet you there, Berkowitz. Berkowitz?
Vernon is...
Bernie?
Is easier to say, Colonel. Vernon. Try Vernon.
Now, let's keep it real simple. How about just plain Vern? Well, another caper of salt. I think we've wrapped everything up.
But I haven't finished my end of the wobbly world theory. Now...
I'm afraid we're out of time, Joe. But Jack and good listeners, I do have one more story to tell. This D-Day, 1944. From Philadelphia comes news that the Liberty Bell, which heralded this nation's independence, rang out today as the liberation of Europe begins. Striking the bell six times and broadcast worldwide, Philadelphia Mayor Bernard Samuel quoted its inscription, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof."
I think I'm going to cry.
Come on, Colonel. Let's get you some dough pie.
Would you do the blessing, Father? Maybe part of President Roosevelt's prayer that you read at the shipyards today.
Oh, that's a good idea, my son. My fellow Americans, in this poignant hour, I ask you to join me in prayer. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, have this day set upon a mighty endeavor. A struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, and steadfastness to their faith. With thy blessing, we shall prevail over the unholy forces of our enemy. Help us to conquer the apostles of greed and racial arrogance. Lead us to the saving of our country and with our sister nations into a world unity that shall spell sure peace. A peace that will let all men live in freedom, reaping the just rewards of their honest toil. Thy will be done, Almighty God. Amen.
Nice, Father Bill. Thank you. We'll leave you now, folks, with this final number from English songstress Vera Lynn. Fitting for those overseas who will sacrifice so much more for all of us in the coming months. For Lou Martin, then, and the gang, this is Jack McKenna wishing you, one and all, a very good night.
All right, now let's give this pizza stuff a whirl.
Hey, this stone soup has a bite to it.
I'll never forget the people I met braving those angry skies. I remember well as the shadows fell, the light of hope in their eyes. And though I'm far away, I still can hear them say, thumbs up. For when the dawn comes up, there'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow. Just you wait and see. There'll be love and laughter and peace ever after tomorrow when the world is free. The shepherd will tend his sheep, the valley will bloom again, and Jimmy will go to sleep in his own little room again. There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow. Just you wait and see.
Been listening to Radio Superior, June 6, 1944, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is performed by Jennifer Simonson. Paul Guggenheimer plays foreign correspondents Harrison Salisbury, Virgil Pinkley, and Louis Lochner. Duke Skorich is correspondent Max Jordan. Joel Anderson plays Eddie Gilmore. Correspondent Joseph L. Myler is performed by Stan Turner. Webb Miller by John Munzel. And Alfred M. Schock plays himself. Other performances include Tom Martinson as the Draft Board Chairman and Father Bill. Ray Paulson as himself. Joe Gardonio is played by Don Hansen. Pat Kelly is Historical Society Curator Gerald Stowe. And Tony Jasmine plays the announcer. All events on Radio Superior 1944 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegraph. Join us next week for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.
I heard that. Where's that coming from?
I told you it's Mr. Mystery Voice. I can't figure it out.
Knock, knock. Can I come in?
Sure, Superior Diocese Bishop William O'Connor.
Oh, please, my son, just call me Father Bill.
So, does God do it?
Sure, he can do anything, even...
Belongs to after.
But only on Thursdays and Tuesday afternoons, Jack.